about creation as a pathway with enthusiasm. I'm going to talk about celebration or worship, and mine's a bit more academic and a few less stories. Celebration is a way of engaging in action that orients the spirit towards worship, praise and thanksgiving. And I think we had a really good example of that this morning, that celebration isn't just sung worship, but it's probably the format that most people engage. If they've got a celebration pathway, then they tend to be quite heavily into sung worship as well. It doesn't mean that if it's not your pathway, you can't engage with it, because you can. And it doesn't mean that you have to be uber enthusiastic on the outside. It's about whether it engages your spirit, okay, with worship, praise and thanksgiving. For most people who follow a pathway of worship, Psalm 122 verse 1, where it says, "I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord," about going to celebrate. And you tend to have a deep love of corporate praise. Yeah? Being together in a group, you will probably do it on your own as well, but there is a love for that sort of corporateness of praise. And you're the sort of people, and I'm going to use an example, even though she's not here, but I'm sure she won't mind, you might be the sort of person, if you're following that pathway, who is wishing that the worship would go on, okay, whereas you do have to recognise there's other people saying, "Oh, I wish this would stop and the word would start." Yeah, so you know that both of those are thing. I remember talking to Karen Heslop once, who, and I think she is somebody who really follows a worship pathway. She said, "I don't usually get very much out of the word, but I do out of the worship." And I think that's somebody who's really following a worship pathway. If you're not sure if it's your pathway, there's some sort of, you don't have, it's not like you have to answer yes to all these questions, but these are things that you might be thinking about. Do I feel closest to God when I'm worshipping him, when I'm singing songs, worship songs? Does putting on worship songs add life to my devotional times? Do I feel in touch with God in church worship times? Do I find I start to feel dry if I don't have time to sing or listen to worship songs? Do I feel God is exciting, an exciting God, and we should be excited about worshiping him? Yeah. Do you feel you can't understand people who say they love God, but they act as if they were going to a funeral, right, when they go into church? Different pathways. If you identify with those sorts of feelings, then it's probably one of your pathways. I think talking to people, it's very rare for there to be a pathway. It's usually one or two, just in sort of discussion, thinking about it. People who, in the Bible, David's probably the biggest example of somebody who followed a worship pathway, because he danced before the Lord. He wrote and sang psalms. He played his lyre. He wrote poetry, all about sung and spoken worship. I told you about Karen Heslop. And Jesus warned, if the people were quiet, the stones would cry out. So I think he was heavily into it. I want to talk about me. If you see me on a Sunday morning, you might think that worship is one of my pathways, okay, because I engage, I'm involved, etc., and I will frequently get things out of the songs which I may share with people. But I don't play or sing music at home or in my car. Now, I know lots of people find that's really, really weird. Spoken word always at home. I rarely play music. The time I play worship songs is in preparation for the Sunday morning. I do then, sort of thing. Now, that isn't to say that I don't ever sing in my car worship songs, because I do. I get earworms, and those I sing a lot. At the moment, and it's been with me for about the last month, I'm not quite sure why, and I don't know all the words even. So when I get earworms, it's just really like two or three lines. Is, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. I keep singing it just over and over again. So it's not that I don't sing, but I just don't think it's my real pathway. My pathway is a creation, slightly different take than Rosie's, and serving. You cannot believe the joy and connection I had with God seeing Vesuvius and the Bay of Naples, especially at night. And when I realised I could see the Apennines behind Vesuvius, I was beside myself with the excitement, because that's how I do connect with God. God speaks to me about power and awesomeness, like Rosie was talking about. And I'm sorry, but Rosie, I am mountains. The fact that Sorrento's on the top of a cliff is almost like a mountain. Not quite, but almost like a mountain. Serving is a pathway for me. I wouldn't be here now doing this and taking on leading the church if I didn't have serving as one of my pathways. Okay, so sung worship, about connection with God, it's how God speaks to you, it opens your heart, but you don't have to be enthusiastic. You may sit and look very quiet and only marginally engaged in sung worship, whilst inside your heart is open and God is speaking to you. So don't get worried about that. Can't possibly be my pathway, because I'm not going to stand there and hold my hands up and dance around and sing and shout and things like that. That's not what it's about. That's not about being the pathway. That's about, it's about what music and singing does for you and how it connects you to God. So, like Rosie, there's some cautions. It is very easy, if that's your pathway, to get caught up, ending up expecting experiences rather than God, which is one thing Rosie said. You know, you can get caught up in it rather than who created you. You can get caught up in the high of a singing experience without actually connecting with God through the experience. C.S. Lewis apparently called it the sin of encore, more, more, I want again, again. It's also easy, and I think I sometimes, although it's not particularly my pathway, I can sometimes fall into this trap of equating good feelings with good worship. Yeah, sometimes it's very easy to, there's lots of upbeat songs and everything's exciting, and sometimes we get caught up and think that's really, really good worship. It can be really, really good worship, but sometimes the quiet and the reflective is great worship as well. Because it can be very emotion based, it often doesn't help in tough times, because it's very how I feel is caught up in it. And it's very easy to be dismissive of Christians who are much more reserved, yeah, or value other pathways more. And we can judge people who are not expressive. I know that in the past, coming from the sorts of churches I've been part of, I've been judgmental of people who I've seen as being less spiritual, because I've made a judgment about how they approach God. But recognizing with maturity that they can be as spirit-filled and as consumed with love, joy and peace as I am, but they don't express it the same way. And sometimes we can get caught in thinking that if the worship is good or isn't good, it means that it's a good or not so good church, because the singing and the quality of the singing becomes much more important than the connection with God. One of the things, if it's your pathway, you have to be careful of is that you must also reflect on the words of songs. Many modern worship songs recently coming out have been much more about what God can do for me than what God has done and what I can do for God. And therefore, if that's your main worship pathway, it's important that you don't neglect the word as well, that you're actually looking at the words of the songs that you're singing and you're reflecting on them. I am a classic person where the tune will demand whether I like the song or not, rather than the words. But then I said it's not really my pathway sort of thing. I'm much more superficial in that sense when it comes to it. I went to church when I was in London, to a church that's similar, much bigger, but similar to ours, but from a different network. They do one song and then go straight into the word, which felt really odd. I don't know about you, but I'm used to having like a chunk of worship at the beginning and then the word. But they had one song, then the word, and then they do three songs. And I thought, well, that might just be when I... because, you know, they might normally go on for ages and do four or five songs, but they don't. Because they also went at Christmas and they had the same pattern. I think it actually is a pattern sort of thing. And I wondered why they chose to do that. I don't know. Maybe they were, I don't know, sort of thing. But there must be a reason why they've done it that way round. I'm just putting it out there. I don't know the reason, but it's something that's there. I think if you've got that pathway, you need to develop it. And that's about experiencing great worship, participating in church worship, making your car or your study or somewhere a place that's full of worship music. And as I said, remember, you don't have to be demonstrative. You just have to be connected with God. But in all, and I think it's true for any pathway that you follow, you have to seek the kingdom of God first. That has to be the primary focus of what you do. And then not reflect, neglect to reflect on the word so that you know the truth of what you are singing. I was thinking about it. I don't know whether Tua listened to the Eurovision. I watched the Eurovision, just the songs, because his commentary was in Italian. And there's the Finnish guy was singing a song. And everybody was jumping. Anyway, it was a cha-cha-cha song sort of thing, and the beat, etc. Now, we, no idea, could get very involved in the sort of the hype and the feeling of it, etc., etc. My understanding is about getting blind drunk on a Saturday night tour. I don't know whether you probably didn't listen to it. Because not many people speak Finnish, so they didn't know, okay? And apparently it's in the top 10. But what it meant, all right, was not anything that was edifying. And sometimes we have to be careful that we know the scripture that's behind songs, just so that we know that what we are singing enthusiastically actually is right and isn't tipping towards like, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me, God. But actually, God, what can I do for you? You are awesome. You are amazing. You have sacrificed everything for us. So I think actually it's important we don't envy others their pathways, yeah, because there is no hierarchy. There is no one pathway that is better than others. Now, people that are really devoted to their pathways may feel that theirs is better than somebody else's, but there is no hierarchy. God, as Rosie was saying, made you the way you are. Developing and extend your pathways. Dip into other areas that aren't necessarily things that you feel are you. They may not be the things that really, really make your heart sing, but they will make you a more rounded Christian. They will make you a more rounded disciple. And the church needs all the pathways. It needs the diversity. It needs the differences, because we are family, and family means that you need all of us in all of our differences to make that family. So we do need diversity. We do need differences. And you may be missing something or ignoring something where God wants to use that to speak to you. If you're saying, I don't do worship, or I don't do the word, or I don't do the prayer, or I don't do something, or I don't do serving, or whatever. Yes, it may be something that is particularly your focus, but you can't ignore all the others. We need all of them. The church needs all the pathways to function well. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some of the other pathways as well. And just talk to people. If you're not sure what your pathway is, just think about what makes your heart sing. What's that thing that really, really connects you to God? I know for me that it's standing on a table in the Himalayas, seeing the Everest, right? It was just like, oh, Lord. I had to, right, because there was trees. Yeah, other people will go, it's a mountain. Yeah, Snowdon. Yeah, whatever sort of thing. Finding the thing that makes your heart sing. That's what's important. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rosie.